Hi there, Billy Hindle here, the voice of Alice Dyer in the Magnus Protocol. As part of the Magnus Archive's 10th anniversary, Rusty Quill is hosting a special Magnus Live show at the upcoming Crossed Wires Podcast Festival in Sheffield. Join co-creators Jonathan Sims and Alexander J. Newell on the 5th of July for a new iteration of our live show, Statement Begins, where you can hear fan-favourite statements such as Anglerfish, Red Live, and gain exclusive insights into the creation and history of the show straight from the creators themselves. You can buy your tickets now, including limited numbers of meet and greet tickets, from crossedwires.live or the link in the description of this episode.
Hi everyone, it's Kareem, the voice of Simon Fairchild from the Magnus Archives. Today I'm here to advertise Beck's End, an upcoming new audio drama that will be launching on the RQ network. Beck's End is a folk horror audio drama about isolation, belief, radicalization, and poses the question if redemption is possible. When floodwaters swallow an idyllic English Lake District village, a stranded journalist finds herself trapped in a rising tide of fear. Cut off from the outside world, she begins to uncover horrors both human and biblical, lurking beneath the surface. If this intrigues you, you can support the creation of Beck's End on Kickstarter until the 17th of July. For more information on the show and to pledge your support, visit becksend.com. That's becksend.com. And you might recognize a voice here or there. Have fun and enjoy the episode.
Hi everyone, Alex here with a quick introduction to today's episode. Firstly, I just wanted to thank all of you for your patience during this mid-season hiatus. We tried to keep them as short as possible, so thanks for bearing with us. We'll be returning to our normal release schedule from next week. In the meantime, we recently ran another Rusty Fears competition, inviting people to submit their own statements for the Magnus treatment, and today we are happy to present you with the winning entry. As with last time, please remember that today's episode is a standalone work and shouldn't be considered part of the Magnus Archives canon. So congratulations to the winner, and we hope you enjoy today's episode. I'd just like to take a moment to thank some of our patrons. Alex, Rob Young, Jen Van Meter, Jeffrey D. Brainerd, Alix Antilla, Low, Kevin Lovecraft, Marjorie Clare, Andrew Hall, Porkchop Crandall, Alex Rose, Rosalind, John Lozano, Rowan McBean, Mildred, Amelia Stevenson, Mike Weiss, Finn Garza, Tommy Parker, Cornflake of Doom. Thank you all. We really appreciate your support. If you'd like to join them, go to www.patreon.com/rustyquill and take a look at our rewards.
Rusty Quill presents The Magnus Archives. The Iron Gate by Kaylin Toomey. The older I get, the more I realise how much I've forgotten. Do you remember being a kid on a long car ride? How the road would stretch on and your grandparents' house was only 20 minutes away, but it felt more like 2 hours. Some kids would watch a movie or play a game on some half-broken old tablet. But I get car sick. So sometimes, all I could do was look out of the window and imagine. It was easiest to play the game at night. Do you know the game I'm talking about? I don't know if it has an actual name, but I just used to call it the Car Chaser game. When I first started playing it on car trips, I felt like the smartest kid alive. I would imagine the chaser a little differently every time, but no matter what it was, it followed alongside the car as the trees and houses sped by. It would jump effortlessly from power line to power line across streetlights. The chaser would follow along beside the car, and the game was to see if it could keep up the whole trip. My friend Joey got carsick too, and on the bus we weren't allowed to use devices anyway, so I guess it all started because we were bored. I told him about the car chaser. When I finished, though, he just looked smug, said he already knew that game and that I wasn't doing it right. When he looked out the window, he always saw a white dog. We started to argue, and some of the other kids sitting next to us leaned in to listen. When they heard what we were fighting about, some people said that they pretended it was a cheetah, and some said they just saw a really fast man. When we realized we had all played the same game, though, everyone leaned back into their own seats to look out the window. Joey and I talked about what path we thought the chaser would take as it ran. We pressed closer to the window and imagined the chaser jumping across the cars we passed, long legs stretching out behind it. When we passed a gated driveway, though, we got in another fight. I said the chaser would jump from one side of the iron gate to the other. Joey said the gate was its base, though, and since the car chaser had made it to the base before us, it had won the game this time. I told him I thought that was a dumb rule, but Joey stopped playing after that. We talked about video games the rest of the trip. I'd thought that was the end of it. We all got off the bus, me and Joey and a few other kids, and we started walking home. But when we passed the big iron gate, Joey stopped, picked a leaf off a nearby tree, and placed it on the ground in front of the gate. He said the leaf was really money for the car chaser from the game to say thank you for playing with us. The rest of us thought it was funny, and being kids, we would pretty much take any excuse to pull the leaves off a tree. So we each picked a leaf and left it in front of the gate too. And we just started doing that. It kind of just became a habit. We all rode the bus together, and so whenever the group of us passed by the iron gate, we would always end up leaving something in front of it. It didn't always have to be leaves, just anything interesting we found. Sometimes we would leave plastic bottle caps. Sometimes Joey would even leave a small piece of candy, if he had one. And then there was the time we made Nico leave some of the money his mum had given him. I still feel bad about that. Nico had been given a couple of coins by his mum, and he had been talking all day about how, if he brought the money back to her at the end of the day, she would take him to get some ice cream. It was supposed to teach him about responsibility or something. Nico and I were sitting next to each other on the bus ride home that day, and we were both looking out of the window. Nico told me that this time he saw a long white dog running next to the bus. And when it was running, it picked up all its legs off the ground like a horse, its body scrunching together and stretching back out as it followed. We got off the bus, and when our group came across the big iron gate, we all stopped, dutifully picking leaves off the nearby plants. Only this time, Joey didn't put his leaf down. Instead, he looked at Nico and told us that Nico had to leave some of the money his mum had given him. Nico didn't want to. He said he was going to leave a leaf like he always did, because that was the rule. But Joey said that that wasn't good enough. He said that the chaser knew Nico had something better, and if it knew you had something important, you had to share. And because Nico played the game on the way home, he had to give up the money. Or else. The rest of us didn't know what to do, but Joey seemed like he knew what he was talking about, so one by one we left our gifts and waited to see what Nico would do. Nico's cheeks were red, his chubby fists clenched at his side. Joey looked serious. He seemed reluctant to say more, but he said if Nico didn't leave the money, the chaser would start chasing him. And it wouldn't stop. Not until it caught him. I still wish I had said something. But that was a long time ago. Nowadays, Joey lives across the country and I commute to and from work on the bus. To be honest, I hadn't thought about the game in a long time. But then, last Friday, I missed my stop. I think I just spaced out. My company's in crunch right now, so everyone's working long hours to meet the latest upcoming impossible deadline. so running on 2 hours of sleep I must have missed when they announced my stop. By the time I had realized what happened, we were 10 blocks away. I knew this route looped around, though, and I didn't want to walk that far at night, so I decided to just ride it out. I stared out of the window into the darkness. My tired eyes appreciated the lack of scenery. I don't know when exactly I noticed it. I was just about to drift off, I think, when I realized there was something moving in the dark alongside the bus. I assumed it was some reckless cyclist, their long legs pumping the pedals as they matched the bus's unhurried rumbling. In the fog, I watched the pale legs going up and down in a fluid motion. Somewhere in the back of my mind, I think I even noticed the cyclist must have been really hunched over, their handlebars, their torso almost parallel to the ground. My eyes closed. There was a gentle tapping on the bus window, and the vibrations knocked against the side of my head. Irritated, I opened an eye, glaring at the other passengers to see who was tapping along to their music. There were only 5 other people this far along the route, and everyone was facing forward, either looking at their phones or sleeping themselves. I opened my other eye to look at the window. Outside, it was so dark that I could hardly see anything past the lighted interior of the bus. The window rattled again, and I looked lower, down by the pavement. Running alongside the bus was a dog. It was a greyhound, I think. At first, I thought it must be a lost dog, and I looked at the back of the driver's seat, considering how to tell her to stop. I was worried if she stopped suddenly, she might run over it. Then I realized the dog was keeping up with the bus. I looked down again and the pale dog stretched out its neck, wrapping its nose against the bus window. Its eyes sparkled orange in the light. Its long, long snout opened and tooth after tooth gleamed in the dark. Too many. More than any dog has. The bus driver announced the final stop, and as I watched, the thing started to go faster, its long, gangly legs stretching out behind it, its head staying in place the whole time. Its eyes didn't blink, its mouth hung open, jaws gaping in a dumb, toothy, dog-like expression. Then I saw what it had seen coming up further along the road. An iron gate. I yanked the cord, but the bus didn't stop. Of course not. There wasn't a bus stop to get off at. I sat, frozen, as both the bus and the dog raced toward the gate. The bus slowed as it approached an intersection. The dog did not. The bus stopped shortly after, the doors opening with a hiss. The bus driver looked back, told me I had to get out. I didn't move. I asked her, didn't this route loop around? Apparently not on Fridays. I got off the bus. I wanted to walk the other way, I really did, but as I turned to walk away, I could feel the gate on the road behind me, lit a muddy yellow by a street light. I walked towards it. I didn't remember any of it that night. Especially not what Joey had told Nico. I tried, I really did. But all I remembered was kids putting leaves by the gate. So I picked a leaf, and I stepped up to the gate. I bent to set my offering down, my fingers brushing against the cold metal. I looked up at the gate as I stood, and in the darkness behind it, just out of reach of the streetlight, a pair of eyes gleamed back, round and shiny as coins. They were at eye level. For a moment, the only thing that moved was the hot, wet air across my face. I ran. I ran down the block, didn't stop running till I ran out of breath. I must have gone for an hour before I finally called a cab to come pick me up. I don't think it followed me. I swear, if I had remembered, I would have left something better. I haven't taken the bus the past few weeks. I have to work again on Monday. And it's going to be another long night.
This episode is distributed by Rusty Quill and licensed under a Creative Commons Attribution Non-Commercial Share-alike 4.0 international license. For more information, visit rustyquill.com, tweet us at @TheRustyQuill, visit us on Facebook or email us at mail@rustyquill.com. Thanks for listening.
Hi everyone, it's Kareem, the voice of Simon Fairchild from the Magnus Archives. Today, I'm here to advertise Beck's End, an upcoming new audio drama that will be launching on the RQ network. Beck's End is a folk horror audio drama about isolation, belief, radicalization, and poses the question if redemption is possible. When floodwaters swallow an idyllic English Lake District village, a stranded journalist finds herself trapped in a rising tide of fear. Cut off from the outside world, she begins to uncover horrors both human and biblical, lurking beneath the surface. If this intrigues you, you can support the creation of Beck's End on Kickstarter until the 17th of July. For more information on the show and to pledge your support, visit becksend.com. That's becksend.com. And you might recognize a voice here or there. Have fun and enjoy the episode.
Hi, Alex here, founder and CEO of Rusty Quill Limited. In case you haven't heard, there is now a Magnus Archives novel. The Library of Jürgen Leitner is set in the world of the Magnus Archives and written by Nebula Award-winning author Premi Mohammed with our very own Jonathan Sims. The story follows Hugh, a university dropout desperate to find somewhere to belong, and his new job at an esoteric library. The books he must investigate for the enigmatic Jürgen Leitner are not normal, because the library is not a vault, sealed and silent, but a hive, alive, buzzing, and ready to sting. The Library of Jürgen Leitner releases October 27th, 2026, but you can pre-order it right now in the US and UK from your local bookshop or by using the link in the episode description. If you live outside of the UK or US, you may be able to make an international order for this first publication, but it depends on individual retailers' shipping policies.